This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning and welcome to In Focus. It is good to have you with us. I'm Roger Gray, and we're going to talk a couple of things, cars, and we're going to talk good work for East Texas. Jeremy Flowers is with us. He is head of publicity and marketing for the good folks at the East Texas Crisis Center, but he also ramrods the big auto and motorcycle show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you with us. Let's talk about the show. This thing has been going, what are we coming up on?
35 years. Yes, sir. And we're so excited this year. We're actually moving the show back indoors at the Oil Palace.
Okay.
Yeah. For many years, we had it at Harvey Convention Center, and you know, after they replaced it with W.T. Brookshire Center, we had to move outdoors. So the last few years, we've been over at Green Acres Baptist Church, and so this year, we're moving it back indoors at the Oil Palace.
Okay. So keep the cars much cleaner there. And if you haven't been, there are cars on the outside, there are cars on the inside, and some of them, a lot of things you expect. You know, great stuff from the, 50s and 60s and 70s and all that. But also some real classics.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always unique, special interest, like you said, classic cars, trucks, and motorcycles from each and every decade. Stuff you don't normally see on the road. So you definitely want to come out to the East Texas Auto and Cycle Show and see some of these just real quality show cars that we're going to have. It'll be a great experience for the whole family to see cars you don't get to see every day.
Before we get to the big thing you can win, if you enter, you can win trophies.
Absolutely.
And I assume you're still looking for entries, right?
Yeah. So we have registration will be open until February 14th for the indoor show. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, we will have an outdoor show in addition to the indoor show, and you don't have to pre-register for that. You can just show up Saturday morning and say, I want to put my car in the outdoor show, and you can put your car in the outdoor show.
Okay. And there is, I'm sitting here looking at the categories, if I can see them from this distance. There's a category for everything. Camaros, Mustangs, Mopar, old cars back to, early part of the century, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah, any kind of vehicle. Mm-hmm. We want you to just come show it. That's what that outdoor show is for, is to invite the community out who maybe didn't have a car or that they wanted to put inside and leave it there for 3 days.
Yeah, I understand. Something you need, actually drive. There are categories for different generations of trucks, military vehicles, and a special Jeep category, which I appreciate. And you can win a Mustang, classic Mustang.
Yeah, so we're so grateful for our car show committee. They've been a long time reason for this show being a success. And they've put a lot of time and effort in this car that was actually donated to us by a gracious community member. And it's just a beautiful Viper Red 67 Mustang. If you haven't seen it, please go visit autoandcycleshow.com. On Sunday at the close of the show, we will draw the winning ticket for this. You do not have to be present to win. And tickets are only $10.
Oh.
$10 donation, you could win a beautiful classic 67 Mustang.
This is a red notchback automatic 289 V8.
Yes, sir.
Just a great cruiser, and it's been upgraded. Disc brakes, and it looks like it's been had a little suspension work done too.
Suspension work. Aftermarket air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell, here. Yeah,
need that in Texas.
Mm-hmm. So, and although you could get it, but it was aftermarket even back then. So you can enter for this. And when is the drawing going to be held?
It'll be Sunday, March 2nd at 4 p.m. You do not have to be present to win.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to come out to the show on Friday, come out to the show on Saturday, buy some raffle tickets, or even if you can't make it out to the show, but you still want to help support or enter for a chance to win, you can go online and purchase tickets at autoandcycleshow.com.
And these are some folks that do incredible work in our part of the state. And this is your big fundraiser.
Yes, sir. This is our largest public fundraising event.
You're not holding a big ball or anything like that. This is it. So get out there and number one, have fun looking at some great cars and maybe winning one, and help out some great folks. The East Texas Crisis Center, how long have you guys been around?
So the Crisis Center started in 1978 by a group of volunteers. Mm-hmm. They created a hotline for survivors of sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And they started getting so many calls for domestic violence that they realized there was a need for both. And so in 1980, we became incorporated as the East Texas Crisis Center. And last year, we just celebrated our 45th year in existence. Since 2003, when we opened our current facility that mm-hmm. we're in, the emergency shelter, we have provided services to over 46,000 women and children.
And that is, I was especially interested in this because I back when I was doing TV a lot of hair ago, I was racing my hairline to the end of my TV career. but you can empathize.
Absolutely, I know.
Boy, howdy, can we? But did a whole series on this sort of thing. Domestic violence is a tough category to deal with. Because you're dealing with relationships, mm-hmm. sometimes violent relationships. Mm-hmm. Any police officer will tell you they may come upon a violence call, domestic violence call, and find people don't want to be forthcoming or they are scared to be forthcoming and especially afraid to leave when it's mm-hmm. time to leave.
Because what do you do? Absolutely. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. There's fear involved, right? Mm-hmm. And because when trying to leave an abusive relationship, that is the most dangerous time. That's when the increased likelihood of homicide is mm-hmm. ever present. And that's the most dangerous time for anyone involved in that situation, whether it's friends or family trying to help, or whether that's law enforcement, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous, calls that they go on.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of fear involved. It's difficult to talk about, mm-hmm. you know, and abusers are really good at isolating victims, right? Mm-hmm. They cut off their support system in order to be able to control them. And so they may not have anyone to reach out to. Mm-hmm. And so at the Crisis Center, we want to be that support system. We want to provide hope for survivors and let them know that we're here for them every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And we want to meet them where they're at to help them empower themselves to make choices to escape the abusive situation, heal, and mm-hmm. hopefully move on to live a life free of violence.
But as you say, there is a certain isolation. If a woman finds herself, and I know this from talking to some of these women for the TV stories we did. This was up in the Panhandle, but it's the same everywhere. Number one, it's a relationship that maybe at some point was good. You know, full of hope and all of that, turned sour, and they find themselves without resources. Perhaps they are stay-at-home moms. They've got kids to think about. You may not have family living nearby who can take you in, or maybe they're unwilling or unable to take you in. What do you do? Where do you go? And how do you get out without harm? We talk to people who had to sneak out in the middle of the night, and some organizations would help them facilitate that and then keep their location away from the abuser. Is that part of the problem here?
Yeah, absolutely. So just, you know, making that first step, where do I reach out? And is it safe for me to reach out, right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of times they're being monitored. Their phones are being monitored. Right. Their communications being monitored.
He's going to know where I am.
He's going to know where I'm at, where I am. They even go so far as to put tracking devices on vehicles.
Really?
So
have you really run across that?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
They'll even install apps on their phones uh-huh. so that they can read. Mirror their text
see
messages
where you
and
are.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So it is a really sensitive and dangerous time mm-hmm. when a victim does attempt to reach out. But we have a 24-hour hotline that is there specifically for that situation. It's 903-595-595. 5591, and we have trained advocates mm-hmm. who are there to help whoever reaches out make whatever decision is the best for them. And that's maybe even if you're not in an abusive situation, but you know someone who might be, mm-hmm. and you want to know what to do. We have advocates there that are trained and will talk you through that process and help you know how to support someone in that situation.
That's a good idea to intercede for somebody. If she's too afraid to do it herself, too worried about doing it herself, call the hotline and see if there's something you together can't do to help her.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're there for. You know, we want to normalize the conversation. We want to make the public aware that these free, 100% free and confidential services are available. We have an emergency shelter that houses up to 60 women and children at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, we provide trauma-informed counseling. We provide legal advocacy. So anytime a survivor has to go to court, we'll send an advocate there to be with them. We'll help them fill out the paperwork for a protective order. And we also provide hospital accompaniment. So anytime a survivor of domestic violence or sexual assault shows up in the emergency room, the hospital calls us to send an advocate there to be with them for emotional support, provide resources. And if they need emergency shelter, then, you know, we'll bring them to the shelter.
Which quite often, and you mentioned the children, it's one thing to be a woman alone in an abusive relationship, but when there are kids to think about, and kids are often witnessing the abuse, so they've been traumatized by all of this. But part of her concern may be, what about my kids?
Absolutely.
Where do I go where I can take my kids and keep them safe?
Absolutely. And you kind of alluded to it earlier. That's one of the reasons they may not leave, is because when I leave, if I'm financially dependent on the abuser, how am I going to take care of my kids? How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to provide a house for them? Mm-hmm. And we know that in East Texas, one of the main reasons that survivors stay in abusive relationships is because the lack of affordable housing. So that's a great barrier that mm-hmm. they face.
Oh, it's a tough enough barrier for everybody, mm-hmm. affordable housing these days. Mm-hmm. So they have that additional concern. So there is a place for them to go.
Yes, at the East Texas Crisis Center. That's what we're there for, to provide safety, shelter, advocacy, support, and hopefully create a path towards hope for them to heal and move on to a life free of violence.
Well, that's the next question, because I notice among the things you offer the client is economic education, skills classes. Learn how to support yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a weekly economic education class that just goes over the basics of financial literacy so they can be empowered to make those decisions for themselves. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes when they're in that abusive relationship, they don't have that autonomy. They don't have that freedom to make their own choices. Everything is controlled. Every decision is made mm-hmm. for them. So just giving them those basic school skills or tools or resources so that they can be self-sustaining and empowered to live on their own and build that foundation for support.
And the abuse can be psychological. You'll never survive without me, that sort of thing.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Either economically or emotionally or whatever, mm-hmm. you'll never find it. There are a lot of tricks that abusers use, frankly.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's insidious, right? A lot of times when you hear domestic violence, you may automatically think that means physical, but mm-hmm. you're absolutely right. There's emotional, financial abuse involved. Sure. Abusers will weaponize the children, mm-hmm. you know, threats. They won't take control. I mean, they won't take blame. Everything is the victim's fault. You know, so there's these tactics in what we use as an educational tool called the power and control wheel that identifies, you know, the different tactics that abusers do use.
Right.
And on the outside of that wheel is physical and sexual violence, but it never really has to get to that. Just mm-hmm. the fear that could potentially happen is enough to manipulate someone.
This guy gets so angry, sooner or later he's going to hit me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You have, I know, support group. Well, you do risk assessment.
Yes, sir.
To start with, how dangerous is your situation?
Right, and that's really imperative. And, you know, in October 23, we received funding to establish a domestic violence high-risk team. So when a survivor shows up to the center, we do a risk assessment to gauge their risk of lethality. And depending on how high that risk is, if they'll be referred to the domestic violence high-risk team. And so that's a team made up of advocates, prosecutors from the DA, law enforcement, the hospital, and everyone on that team assesses the risks that are involved that could potentially lead to homicide. And then also, how do we hold him accountable? How do we make sure that he's not going to kill her? So that's... that is a necessary tool to have so that we can save lives.
And you have support groups of people who I gather have been through the same situation. I know where you are and I know what you're thinking. There's a way out, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we do. We have a support group for survivors of domestic violence. We have a support group for survivors of sexual assault. And, you know, it does allow them that community to let them know that they're not alone, that others have gone through similar experiences. And those are weekly. And so that's available to anyone who's been a survivor of domestic violence or sexual assault to just come and speak to others about your experience in a safe space where you can share, right? And you can engage in, create connection with others who have shared a similar experience.
And if you have to go to court, if you have to get a divorce, if you have to get custody and all of that stuff, you have legal advocacy as well?
Yes, sir. We provide legal advocacy. It's not the same as legal aid. We do not give legal advice, but you know, anything that we can aid in, you know, whether that's going to court, whether that's doing the paperwork for affidavits or protective orders, or you know, just sitting there in the court hearing, you know, we'll be there for moral support.
Okay. What about the kids?
The kids.
They worry about their kids. You know, what's going to happen to them while I'm going through all this?
Yes. So we have an amazing children's program where the children's facilitators really foster an environment for kids just to be kids. Because, you know, a lot of times children who are growing up witnessing abuse, they don't get to be kids, right? They're living a traumatic childhood. And so our children's facilitators create that space for them to just grow and heal, but have fun, because that's what children are supposed to do, right? And then, you know, they also... make sure that they're maintaining their grade levels. So during the school year, we have tutors come in after school to provide, you know, assistance with homework or whatever they may need.
But they'll be going, if they're school age, they'll be going back to public school.
Yes.
That can be kind of risky.
Absolutely.
Because he will know where they are.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And so we do work very closely with the ISDs to prioritize the children's safety as well as the mother's safety. And, you know, we make special arrangements to relocate them if it's necessary.
But I notice here you have music and reading and art and science labs.
Yeah, I mean, our children's program staff is so creative. And, you know, there's so many ways for children to just express themselves in the children's program, whether that's, like you said, through art, therapy, through music, through play. I mean, it's really just a necessary aspect of breaking the cycle.
We've talked about domestic violence a lot because it is a big problem. How big a problem is it in our area? What do you guys see?
So in 2023, we had over 900 survivors of domestic violence alone that we've seen in our 5-county service area.
Wow.
And so those numbers can sound big, but at the same time, they're a little misleading because we know the problem isn't reported.
Yeah.
It's also a very
underreported. Those are just the ones you found out about.
Yes. Yeah. So anything we can do as a community to raise awareness and, you know, show support for survivors to make it safer for them to speak out would be beneficial, and we would probably see more accurate data on that.
Yeah. As I was beginning to say, we're talking about domestic violence and all. You also deal with victims of sexual assault.
Yes.
Which may, in some ways, may be even more insidious because there are so many, and we've all heard the horror stories of trying to deal with the authorities, not being believed, arguments from the perpetrator, et cetera, that no, it was consensual, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a tough position for a woman to be in.
Absolutely. It's scary, you know, and because
and you may just give up on getting any justice at all.
Yeah. And that does happen, unfortunately,
sure.
Because like you said, victim blaming is so pervasive, you know, but we work from the position of we believe you. So anytime you reach out to the East Texas Crisis Center, our advocates and our counselors are going to be there and believe you. And, you know, a lot of folks may not know, but if you're a victim of sexual assault, you can go to the hospital and see a sexual assault nurse examiner, mm-hmm. and you choose whether or not that's reported to the police.
Okay.
So that gives them the freedom. If they want to report later, or if they never want to report, they can still go get that evidence collected. And when they do that, we'll be there to help support them as
well. So at least if you do decide, you will have the evidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it is, and I from some personal experience, my major, I'm from Houston. My major was theater. And a young actress that I worked with in a couple of different shows went to New York eventually. As she was jogging at night, which isn't wise, but she was apparently brutally sexually assaulted. And it preyed on her mind to the extent that a few months later, she took her own life. Mm-hmm. That can happen. Mm-hmm. If you don't get support, she was away from her family. She was ashamed. She was, how do I explain this? Not getting any help. I'm in a town that's not my home. It can have a tragic, you know, culmination, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's such a traumatic experience, and that's why we are there. We want to support them and let them know that we want to help you on your path to heal, and that it wasn't your fault. Mm-hmm. You know, abuse is a choice, whether that's someone perpetrating domestic violence, whether that's someone choosing to sexually assault another person, that's an active choice the perpetrator makes to harm another individual.
I know, I'm sure you don't have the stats at the top off the top of your head, but how often do women choose to just, I'm just going to live with it. You know, I'm not going to get all entangled in court and.
Well, there's
an embarrassment factor as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we know that it takes a woman an average of seven attempts to leave before they actually leave for good.
Okay.
And, you know, there's all kind of factors that go into them going back, you know, and why they don't leave for good. And, you know, the second or third or fourth time.
Oh, honey, I'll change. I'm sorry. I got out of hand, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we want to be there through all that. We're gonna still be there. We're gonna support you no matter where you are in your process, going through this experience. We don't want you to go through it alone.
Okay. And as far as sexual assault, do most women that you find not choose to go the legal route? Do you know, any ideas?
It can be. It can be intimidating to try to go through the legal process because it does boil down to consent, and that can be difficult to prove. So there are times when women do choose not to go the legal route, but we will provide that assistance with that route if that's the route they choose to go. And, you know, we work real closely with the DA's office. They have some great staff over there in their victim services department who will talk with survivors through that process if that they do choose that route.
Okay. But if they don't choose that route, like the young lady I spoke of, my old friend, they're going to need counseling. They're going to need help. to deal with the aftermath of this, whether you choose to file charges or not.
Yes, and we do, you know, we provide 100% free counseling, you know, and we want you to come talk if you've experienced any type of violence. You know, we're here to support you and want to help you along that process of healing.
You have family therapy. Do you work with situations where, okay, the domestic violence may not have reached a critical point, that maybe this family can be salvaged?
No, we don't encourage.
It's not that.
Okay. Encourage folks to go into counseling together or family counseling, because abuse is one is the perpetrator's fault alone.
Right. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I just saw here you had individual and family therapy by counselors.
And I think, so what that's referring to is we provide counseling for both the mother and the children.
Okay.
The family unit in that sense.
And I'm sure you've seen children in these coming out of these relationships that are pretty traumatized as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They are traumatized, and, you know, We know data tells us that a girl who grows up in an abusive home is more likely to become an adult who's a victim, mm-hmm. and boys who grow up in an abusive home are more likely to grow into men who are perpetrators.
Mm. So, and that's where the therapy and the counseling,
yes, sir,
hopefully comes in.
Creates that intervention in trying to break the cycle.
Yeah. Do you know how many women are at the shelter right now?
I don't have current data, but it is full. It's full, and it usually remains full because this is a prevalent issue here in our community, unfortunately.
That's a shame. That's kind of a sad commentary, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that it is that pervasive out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Oh, I have to mention this. The head of your operation is Nicole Masters-Henry.
Yes.
I was reading her bio.
Oh, it's
holy
incredible.
Cow.
Yeah.
Does she have a couple of degrees or what?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Nicole is...
Everything up to and including ordination. Yeah.
Yeah. And Nicole is wonderful. You know, she took over... and carried on the torch from Lana Peacock's legacy, there being there 30 years. But Nicole joins us from the Tarrant County Safe Haven up in Fort Worth. So she has a wealth of knowledge. She has a vision. She's moving the organization forward. She's already acclimated in society, and she's made some really great strides and positive change. We're so excited to have her on board.
Very, very impressive resume. But let's end on a good note. Let's end talking about cars.
All right.
Which is always more fun. Are you still looking for entries for the indoor show?
Indoor show registration will be open until February 14th.
Okay. So if you have something you think is classic and interesting, that you're willing to park for the weekend, you can enter it. But as far as the outdoor show, drive up, pay your entry fee,
and
park it, wiping it down.
Yeah, absolutely. Day of. Yeah. And so, you know, we're so excited to just provide this opportunity to the community to support our cause, you know, and also, you know, car enthusiasts, it gives them a way to...